This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition, another episode of the We Do This Two Outdoors podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Williamson. And as always, I appreciate every single one of you for taking time to listen, whether you're driving down the road, sitting in a tree stand, mowing grass, working a 12-hour shift, sitting in the office, or just trying to get through another week. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. I really appreciate that. So today's episode has been sitting on my heart for a while. It's one of those conversations that isn't always easy to hear, but it's one we need, you know. So for those of y'all that don't know, I started a new segment called See Will Said It. It comes out every week, and you'll see, you know, the stuff that's been on my heart and stuff like that. So I think once per week on this podcast now, I'm going to start doing an episode on that as well as the outdoor stuff. You know, everybody, you know, sees the outdoor stuff. Everybody listens to the outdoor stuff. But, you know, sometimes you just need that extra push to get through the week or get through the next day or get through the next hour. So I want to help people do that. So today's episode is going to be entitled, You Can't Pray for Results and Skip the Work. Now, before anybody hears that title and thinks I'm saying prayer isn't important, let me stop you right there. Prayer changes things, and I've seen it personally. I've seen God answer prayers that I couldn't explain any other way. I've watched doors open that should have stayed shut. I've watched people recover from things doctors weren't sure they'd recover from. I've watched relationships be restored. I've watched lives change. I grew up in a praying family. I had a praying mama, I had a praying grandmama, I had a praying daddy, praying aunts, praying uncles, you know. So this episode isn't about minimizing prayer. It's about maximizing obedience. Because somewhere along the way, I think we've started treating prayer like it's a replacement for responsibility. And that can be very, very dangerous. And so I want to ask you a question. Have you ever prayed for something and then honestly done very little afterwards? I know I have. I've prayed for success. I've prayed for wisdom. I've prayed for opportunities. I've prayed for growth. I've prayed for God to bless different areas of my life. But if I'm being honest, there have been many, many seasons where my actions didn't match my prayers. And I had to ask myself a hard question. Say, Will, are you asking God to do something He's expecting you to participate in? And that hit me pretty hard. Because sometimes we want God to do 100% of the work while we give him 10% of the effort. And think about that. We want championship results with practice squad discipline. We want a six-pack abs while we're treating every meal like it's Thanksgiving dinner. We want financial freedom, but we spend money without a plan. We want healthy marriages without healthy communication. We want success without sacrifice. Life doesn't work that way. And more importantly, the kingdom of God doesn't work that way either. God always called people to participate. When Noah was told the flood was coming, God didn't hand him a finished ark. He gave him instructions. Noah still had to build. And imagine how crazy Noah looked. People laughed at him. People doubted him. People probably called him every name in the book, but Noah kept building. Not because he understood everything, but because he trusted the one who gave him the assignment. How many of us quit building because people don't understand our vision? We spend more time trying to convince people that completing what God called us to do. Everybody doesn't need to understand your assignment because it's not their assignment. God didn't give them an assignment. They gave you the assignment. They were the ones who received it. And here's another example. Let's go, if you know your Bible, go with me today. Let's go with David. Everybody remembers David killing Goliath. Few people remember David tending sheep. The lonely days, the boring days, the unnoticed days. That's where God was preparing him for. Nobody posts the preparation. Everybody wants to post the promotion. We celebrate what God, we celebrate what happens on the battlefield. God often develops us, in the pasture, and that's where, David was. So maybe that's where some of us are today. We're still in that pasture. But, you're working hard, but nobody's clapping for you. Nobody's, reposting your content. Nobody's buying your product. Nobody's calling your phone. Nobody knows your name. Don't despise that season, because preparation isn't punishment. Preparation is purpose. Now, let's bring this home a little bit. So for those of you who hunt, you don't pray for a mature buck all year and then never scout. You don't ignore the wind. You don't skip checking your equipment. You don't refuse to practice shooting. Then you get mad when the opportunity comes, you're not ready. You prepare for that. You prepare all summer long, for everything to go right. You want, you're checking your broadheads, you're checking your bow, you're checking your rifle, make sure your gun's clean, this and that. Because preparation honors the opportunity. It's the same in life. If you're praying for a better job, are you learning new skills? If you're praying to become a better husband or wife, are you becoming the kind of spouse you'd want to be married to? If you're praying to become a better parent, are you spending intentional time with your kids? If you're praying for a healthier body, what are you doing after the prayer is over? These are some hard questions, but they're necessary questions. I think sometimes we ask God to bless things we haven't been willing to steward. Stewardship isn't just about money. It's about time. It's about character. It's about effort. It's about attitude. It's about consistency. God has entrusted us with something. Every one of us, he's entrusted us with something. The question is, what are we doing with it? Maybe your gift is teaching. Maybe your gift is coaching. Maybe your gift is running a business. Maybe your gift is encouraging people. Maybe your gift is content creating. Maybe your gift is leading your family. Whatever your assignment is, treat it like it matters, because it does. One thing I've learned over the years, in my 40 years of living, well, almost 40 years of living, you don't accidentally become excellent. Like, nobody wakes up and suddenly becomes a great husband. Nobody wakes up and suddenly becomes a great father. Nobody wakes up and suddenly becomes a great leader, a great athlete, a great hunter, a great business owner. Excuse me. Excellence is built one decision at a time, one discipline day at a time, one choice after another. And most of those choices happen when nobody's watching. Character is revealed in private long before it's rewarded to the public. That's why I believe discipline is one of the greatest forms of worship. When nobody's making you do the work, you do it anyway. That's character. That's stewardship. That's faith in action. You know, and, you know, as I talk about this, you know, I want to leave you with one question to think about. What have you been asking God for that he may already be asking you to prepare for? You know, pray about that. Be honest with yourself, because sometimes the biggest obstacle standing between us and the next chapter isn't a closed door. It's an unopened toolbox. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes the biggest obstacle standing between us and the next chapter isn't a closed door. It's an unopened toolbox. God has already placed something in your hands. The question is, what are you going to do with it? So, we've already talked about how prayer and responsibility go hand in hand. We also looked at how God often calls us to participate in what he's doing instead of sitting back and waiting for, you know, everything else to happen. Now let's go a little bit deeper. So let's open the Bible up a little bit, you know, not just to read stories, but let's learn how ordinary people responded when God called them to move. The first person I want to talk about is Noah. Now let's think about this for a minute. God told Noah flood was coming. But here's what really stands out to me. God did not build the ark for him. He gave Noah the blueprint. Noah still had to cut the wood. He had to cut, you know, cut the pegs. He had to drive the pegs. And all those people coming by Noah, asking what he's doing, laughing at him or whatever. So can you imagine spending years building something that people around you didn't understand? Because I'm sure there were days Noah was tired. And I'm sure there were days, you know, he questioned himself. And I'm sure there were days where he felt like the work he's done was just repetitive. But obedience doesn't always feel exciting. Sometimes obedience looks like doing the same thing over and over again because it's right. So here's the lesson. Don't quit building just because somebody else doesn't see what God showed you. Your assignment isn't dependent on their approval. Excuse me. Now, let's talk about David. You know, most people know David because of Goliath, of course. But David's victory didn't begin when he stepped onto the battlefield. It started years before that. You know, David spent countless hours protecting sheep. He learned how to stay alert. He learned courage. He learned how to trust God when nobody was watching. So when Goliath showed up, David wasn't trying to become someone new. He was simply relying on what God had already been developing, you know, in him to do. And that spoke to me huge. That speaks to me big time, because sometimes we think we're waiting on our big moment. And maybe we are. But our big moment is waiting on us to become the person who couldn't handle it. That's a different way to look at it to me. Now, let me ask y'all something. How many people are praying for a promotion but showing up late every day? How many people are praying for customers but don't return phone calls? How many people are praying for influence but don't treat people with respect? See, the small things matter. Jesus even taught that those who are faithful with little can be trusted with more. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say the smartest. He didn't say the richest. He didn't say the most connected. He said the faithful. Now, faithfulness isn't flashy. It won't always get applause, but it builds character. Now, let's move on to Nehemiah. Nehemiah had a burden to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He prayed. But after he prayed, he made a plan. He asked for permission. He gathered supplies. He organized people. Then he got to work. Even when the critics mocked him, even when the enemies tried to distract him, even when people questioned what he was doing. There's a verse that I love where Nehemiah basically tells the critics, I'm doing a great work and can't come down. So think about that. Like, how much time do we waste explaining ourselves to people who are never going to support us anyway? Sometimes the greatest response is not another argument. It's not another brick. You just keep building. Now, excuse me. Now I want to talk about Peter. So Peter wanted to walk on water. Now, Jesus didn't say, stay in the boat and imagine it. He said, come on. And Peter still had to step out. Was it risky? Absolutely. Was it scary? No doubt. But faith often requires movement. You can't experience what God has for you if you're unwilling to leave what's comfortable. Now, let's bring this in to everyday life a little bit. You know, maybe your boat is fear. Maybe it's insecurity. Maybe it's procrastination. Maybe it's worrying too much about what people think. Whatever your boat is, at some point, you've got to decide whether you're going to stay comfortable or become courageous. I know that's easier said than done. I've had moments in my life where fear tried to convince me to play it safe. But fear is going to whisper things to you like this. What if you fail? What if people laugh? What if nobody supports you? But here's another question. What if you don't try? What if five years from now you're sitting in the same place because fear kept making your decisions for you? Now, that's a heavy thought. So here's another Bible story that doesn't get talked about, you know, enough. The parable of the talents. Three servants were entrusted with different amounts. Two of them put what they had been given to work. One buried it. The issue wasn't that he had had less. The issue was that he did nothing with what he been entrusted with. Excuse me. So that challenges me, because it's easier to compare our gifts to someone else's gifts, but comparison isn't the goal. Faithfulness is. God isn't asking you to be somebody else. He's asking you to be faithful with what he's placed in your hands. Maybe you don't have the biggest platform. Use the one you have. I don't have the biggest platform, but I'm using what I have to inspire other people. Some people don't like it. Oh, well, I'm going to keep on going. Some people don't like right now that I'm talking about Jesus and God instead of talking about the outdoors, you know, but I want to keep on going. Somebody out here needs to hear this. Yeah, and, you know, maybe you don't have the biggest bank account. You know, be wise with the one that you have. Maybe your business is just now getting started. Serve your first customer like they're your 100th customer. Maybe you're coaching one team. Coach those kids like they matter, because they do. Everything you do is planting seeds, and seeds don't grow overnight. That's another thing we got to remember. We live in a world that wants instant results. You know, you got instant oatmeal. You go to McDonald's in the morning and, you know, fast food. You get your food in 5 to 10 minutes, and before you're even out the parking lot, it's gone. Like, we don't take time to enjoy those things. We want instant success. We want instant fame. We want instant money. But God's work in our lives often happens over time. Character is grown. Trust is built. Wisdom is learned. Don't despise the process, because sometimes the process is the very thing preparing you for the promise. What if the breakthrough you're praying for isn't waiting on a miracle? What if it's waiting on your next act of obedience? Not because you can earn God's favor. His grace is a gift, but because real faith changes the way we live. It changes the choices we make. It changes how we treat people. It changes how we work. It changes how we respond when life gets hard. Faith isn't just something we believe. It's something we live. Faith isn't just something we believe. It's something we live. And I want to leave y'all with that. Somebody might need to hear that today. Somebody might need to hear that this week. If y'all want to keep hearing stuff like this from me, please like, please subscribe. You know, please give me some feedback on it. If y'all don't want to hear this, I'm sorry, but something that's on my heart, I'm going to put it out on wax, as my daddy used to say. So I apologize if it's something different, but it's on my heart. Sometimes you got to talk about stuff outside the box sometimes. You know, God gave me this platform. God gave me the followers that I have, and sometimes I just got to sit here and talk about him and how great he is and what he's done in my life. Now, if you don't like that, I'm sorry. This podcast ain't for you. But for the people that's been rocking with me since day one, I appreciate you. Share this with somebody that needs to hear it, even if they don't want to hear it. You know, share it with somebody. Been battling with this sinus infection, man, for the past couple of weeks, man. I've been mowing them yards and stuff and getting ready for school to start back. So got to get my mind back in grind mode when I go back, so I can better shoot these kids and better help these kids. So I love y'all. You know, thanks once again for tuning in. And if that's all, as always, big game, small game, all game. We do this too.